Did you think it was interesting or unusual the way that OMB Director Jack Lew posted on Friday afternoon in the middle of August when about half of Washington was on vacation? Hey, that 5 to 10% might not actually be 5 to 10% after all.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's always hard to know if these things are just going according to their regular cycle or whether OMB does seem to do an awful lot of things on Friday afternoons. And the interesting thing is, you know, him putting out that message saying, well, it doesn't necessarily mean 5 or 10%. Reading everything they put out, I think it means at least 5. I mean, everybody was told submit a budget that's 5 and then another one that's 10.
Uh-huh.
So I don't see how much of anybody gets away with less than 5 unless someone's going to submit a budget with a 5% cut and OMB is going to say, oh, no, you don't need to cut it that much. And I don't see that happening.
My first thought when this came out last week was you're going to get, if you're sitting at OMB, an agency's going to send you a 5% cut program, 10% cut program, and you're going to go to the 10% one first, given where we are budget-wise and the debt and deficit situation that we're in. And if you're going to look over those 10% cuts, you're going to go, okay, we can probably live with that, and that's what it's going to be. So my thought is this: the 5% number maybe was put out there to not scare people right off, but that the 10% number is probably more likely to happen.
Yeah, it seems like that would be the case, and also it sort of invites members of Congress to say, we'd like to see the 10% version of everybody's, because that's where we'd like to go, if not deeper. And this, of course, is just, you know, this is really just setting the stage for the real cuts that come out of the whole super committee process. So this is just, in a way, kind of warming agencies up for what might be even worse in the years ahead.
Well, how do you think all of that fits together? The super committee, this budget memo, the follow-up blog post. By the way, all of this stuff posted online at federalnewsradio.com. And then also the memo from OMB separately at the end of last week about performance measures and that kind of thing.
Well, I think the connection to the performance measures there is largely where they're going here. I think what this is really an effort to do is to say, sort of independent of whatever deep cuts they're willing to accept through the separate process, OMB wants to say, we're targeting inefficiency, we're targeting things that aren't performing well, we're targeting things we just can't afford right now, and we're going to cut those for sure. And then we're going to encourage you to look deeply at your programs and to make sure that we are funding the ones that are performing effectively. So I think they want to put, in an election year in particular, they want to say, hey, we're putting all this emphasis on making sure we're putting our money toward things that really work.
See, that was my thought when I saw the performance memo, was this is a great opportunity for somebody in an agency to go to somebody in charge of a program that maybe isn't working as well as it could and say, listen, bud, the chopping block's coming, and if you can spike it up a little bit, we'll do what we can. But if you can't, this one's definitely going to go.
Yeah, the only issue there is perennially this comes up, and perennially agencies identify programs that don't perform particularly well, and Congress doesn't want them to be cut. There are many programs that don't perform all that well that are great favorites of members of Congress, and they tend to escape the Budget Act. So there, you know, there's no guarantee that that the least efficient things will actually get cut.
I had Linda Springer on in the 3 o'clock hour this afternoon, and we talked about a lot of these issues. And she said something that I thought was really interesting. I'd love to get your thoughts on it. And one of the things that she observed was this is obviously just the beginning. This is not a one and done deal. This is where we're going to be budget wise for the next, foreseeable future, I guess. The possibility, though, that this is opening agencies up to a different kind of thinking and potentially to even thinking about budgeting on kind of a zero-based budgeting philosophy rather than the way that we've done it up till now, which is let's look at last year's and see what we want to adjust, and then that's what we'll go for this year. Do you think there's something to that? Do you think that this is not a roundabout way, because that sounds like nefarious and like there's some kind of ulterior motives or something, but do you think this is an effort to get agencies to maybe think like you'd think if you were starting from scratch and going, okay, we absolutely have to do this one, and we absolutely have to do this one, and this other one maybe not so much?
Yeah, it certainly represents really a great opportunity to do that, to either zero base it and say, what do we really need for this, or to at least say, you know, what are the programs that are really working that we really ought to fund, and what are the things that, you know, in a very tight set of circumstances we can live without, just like any person or company would do when faced with that kind of situation. The thing is that our political system is not particularly good at making those kinds of decisions, even if agencies were good at it, and some of them are. I think some of them do go through this process fairly rigorously and come up with budgets that make sense. I mean, they all have things that they want to defend that they've been doing for many years. But, you know, I think the real problem tends to be that once these things get into the political arena, then different considerations other than effectiveness of programs comes into play.
That's Tom Shoup, the editor-in-chief of Government Executive Magazine. And, Tom, you've made people in our office very happy this afternoon.
How did I manage to do that?
Because you kind of told me how things really are, and people love it, especially Emily and Justin love it when that happens. They love it when somebody points out the fact that I'm not right. And our Ruben Gomez, who we refer to here in the office as Magic, says that FEMA writes that you should drop to the ground, take cover by getting under a sturdy table or other piece of furniture, and hold on until the shaking stops during an earthquake. If there isn't a table or desk near you, cover your face and head with your arms and crouch in an inside corner of the building. Use a doorway for shelter only if it's in close proximity to you and if you know it's a strongly supported load-bearing doorway. So they're just gleeful at the fact that you told me how things really are. So congratulations to you on that one, smart guy.
Well, I didn't mean to show you up. I just wanted to make sure your listeners got the most accurate and up-to-date information.
Well, they did, thanks to you, Tom Shoup. Thanks
and
very much.
You can tell them, you know, when aftershocks hit, they've got no business running away and leaving the building. They should stay and continue to work.
That's very true.
Their desk.
That is very true, and I will be miserable for the rest of the afternoon, thanks to you.